All right, everybody, this is your host Keith of the Retro Radio Podcast, coming back at you again for our week two, looking at what's happening down there in Pine Ridge. Now, April 8th through the 12th, in our present time as I'm recording this, will be January 18 through 25 down there in Pine Ridge. So let's look at some news items that are happening out in the world at large. On January 10th, America's sweetheart, Mary Pickford, divorces Douglas Fairbanks. On January 12th, Saturday, Amelia Earhart completes her first solo flight between California and Hawaii, or from Hawaii to California, landing in Oakland some 18 hours after she took off. And I understand later in the year, she'll be making that worldwide flight. I hope everything comes out okay for her. January 16th, died Ma Barker, 61. She was the matriarch of the Barker Gang and was killed by law enforcement. And from what I know about the Barker Gang, it was probably well deserved. January 19, 1935, on Saturday, briefs first go on sale in Marshall Field's in Chicago. So, hey, no more of those long woolen undies for folks out there. And, the boxers, they've been around since World War I. But, hey, they got these new briefs. Want to try some out? Anyway, January 24th, beer is sold in cans for the first time in Richmond, Virginia, by the Kruger Brewing Company. No more bottles. But now, let's have a look at what's happening down there in Pine Ridge this week. Well, the guys, there's some episodes missing. We don't really know what happened since they closed up the oil well. Apparently, there's some kind of a skirmish, and Elizabeth has taken little Pearl off to some relays down there in Texas. So the gents are left to themselves, and they decide to operate a matrimonial bureau. The bureau gets swamped mail pretty quickly. They spend some time reading the letters, and as it gets so busy, they decide to move it into the jotted down store. And the week ends up with Abner receiving a telegram from one of the patron or matrons of the people doing business with them, their clientele, and he goes to meet her. So I wonder how that's going to work out. Well, you'll just have to listen and find out, and we'll see you next week.
Ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlicks, the original malted milk. When in the midst of a busy day at your work or in your home, a heavy luncheon may cause you distress or leave you feeling drowsy because it's so hard to digest. That's why more and more people are turning to the Horlick luncheon. A glass full of Horlicks is a refreshing and nourishing luncheon, energy-giving, sustaining, too. And you couldn't find a food more easily digestible. That's why Horlicks at noon keeps you alert, mentally and physically. Why busy people prefer Horlicks to the heavier, hard-to-digest luncheon. Overweight people will find the Horlick luncheon a fine reducing plan, for it's without the heavier meal's excess of calories. Try the Horlick luncheon tomorrow. You can get Horlicks, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your drugstore. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. Well, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau is proving even more successful than Lum and Abner had hoped for. The old fellows are receiving hundreds of applications, and their only worry now seems to be the suit that Squire Skimp has brought against them for $4,200, which is scheduled to come up next week. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Lum and Abner over at Lum's house. which they are using as headquarters for their new enterprise. Lum seems to be very busy. Listen.
Abner Peabody, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? To provide for her through sickness and health? And forsaken all others to love, honor, and obey her as long as you both shall live?
I do.
You will now join right hand, or left hand, just join hand. By the power invested in me as Justice of the Peace of Cloverleaf Township, I now pronounce you man and wife. And now, my young friends, as you go out into life to grasp the skirts of happy chance, may your stream of life unruffled run, and the roses bloom without a thorn. $5, please.
That dog is just sure aiming on putting on all the trimmings on this wedding, ain't you, now?
Well, I feel sort of responsible for this wedding. I was the one that agged him into getting hitched.
Yeah, I recollect when you called him up on the phone the other day and was telling him what a good match he'd make.
Well, Ruth just never had nerve enough to ask her. They'd have been married long ago.
Yeah, well, now, do you want to go through it again now, Lum?
No, I believe I know it by heart now. I've got to start getting dressed up. They're supposed to be over here at 4 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Going to change clothes, huh?
Well, I'll just slip on a neck collar and tie and put on my frock tail coat.
Yeah.
I don't mind to put myself a little bother when I'm getting $5 this away.
Well, I thought you told Ruth on the phone the other day that you'd make him a special price of $2.50.
Well, I did, but like I told him this morning, that's just for the regular cut and dried ceremony. For $5, I could give him a first-class wedding with all the trimmings.
Yeah. Man, that'll be the first cash money that we've took in a long time, won't it?
We?
Well, we're sort of partnered in this matrimonial bureau, ain't we?
Yeah, but this ain't got nothing to do with our matrimonial business. This is sort of a sideline with me. This is Justice of the Peace.
Yeah. Well, I wish we'd start getting some money in pretty soon so that I can send for Elizabeth and Pearl. I got a hearing from Elizabeth this morning just raising the roof because I hadn't sent her money for her and Pearl to come home on.
Another letter?
Yeah, she said her relations is getting tired of feeding them. That's what she said.
Well, she ought to understand, Abner, that you just ain't got the money to send her.
Well, the trouble of it is, Lum, see, I ain't told her that the oil well weren't oil well. She thinks we're still rich.
You mean you ain't told her that we sold out to Squire Skimp?
No, I ain't told her nothing about it. I just never wanted to ruin her trip for her.
Well, law me, Abner, when she gets home and finds out that we've lost the store and never made no money out of the oil business, and on top of everything else, that Squire Skimps are suing us for $4,200 and has got everything we own tied up with attachment paper, she's going to hire a kite.
Yeah, I know it. I know she is. I just don't know what to do about it, hardly.
Well, you're a great one to be the head of the domestic problem department of our matrimonial bureau when you can't even run your own home.
Well, what would you do about it, Lum? Of course, I'd rather tell her while she's down there so far away that she can't throw nothing at me, but I'm afraid if I do tell her, she'll just stay down there in Texas and not come home.
Well, I wouldn't want to advise you on that problem just offhand, Mr. Peabody. If you write your troubles to the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau, I'll be glad to study the situation over and that. Oh, my goodness, there's somebody at the door.
Well, it ain't time for the wedding yet, is it?
Granted, I ain't got a car on yet. Come in. You folks will just have to wait. Well, come in, Squire.
Yes, how are you gentlemen today?
Oh, all right, I reckon.
Yeah, we thought you were a couple wanting to get married, Squire.
Yeah.
just dropped over to talk to you gentlemen a little.
Well, I ain't got time to talk with you, Squire. What is it you want?
I've been hearing that you fellas have opened up a matrimonial bureau here in Pine Ridge.
Yeah, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. I'm the president.
Well, sir, men, that was a mighty good idea, a mighty good idea. Can't understand why I never thought of it myself.
Well.
So you fellas stand to make a lot of money out of that if it's handled right.
Well, now, they ain't no use to beat around the bush, Squire. What are you leading up to?
Well, just to come right out with it, Lum, I've been thinking right smart about this thing ever since I heard about you going into it. Now, just to be honest, you fellas have got something there. But you don't know nothing about a business of this kind. Why, myself, I'm a natural-born promoter. That's been my life's work.
Yeah, I know that all right.
I was just thinking, sort of on account of us being such old friends, that I might come in as a third partner in this thing and sort of help you fellas out.
Well, now, that'd be a fine howdy-do, wouldn't it? us take you in as a third partner when you've got everything we own tied up with attachment papers and lawsuing us here for $4,200.
Well, now, Lum, as far as a lawsuit goes, well, now, that can be handled.
Yeah, what do you mean it can be handled?
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking now, that suit is set to come up next week. But if you gentlemen want to give me a third interest in this matrimonial agency here, why, I'll just call the suit off, just withdraw it.
Well, now, here, let me tell you something, Squire. Me and Abner's put confidence in you before. Yeah. Time and again, you've come to us and told us on account of us being such old friends, you'd do this or that for us. Now, we've had all the dealings with you we ever want to have. I wouldn't even swap nickels with you. Now, if you want to call the suit off, all right. But as far as being a third partner in this matrimonial bureau, I wouldn't be associated with you in no kind of business. Now, I don't like to be unhospitable to nobody, but the quicker you can get out of my house, the better it'll suit me.
Well, all right, Lum, if that's the way you feel about it. But I'm warning you right now. Don't come around wanting any sympathy when I get that judgment for $4,200 and go to foreclosing on your property. Good day, gentlemen.
I believe you made a mistake there, Lum, talking to him that way.
You mean you want him for a third partner?
Well, no, Lum, but now, that looks like a pretty good way to get out of having that lawsuit. And if he does win it, why, it's going to be awful hard for us to lose our homes.
Yeah.
Special me with Elizabeth and Pearl.
Yeah, never thought about that. I might have sort of flew off the handle then. I just wished I knowed one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Where that agreement is that he signed assuming all the obligations of the oil business. If we had that to produce in court, he wouldn't stand a chance in the world winning that case.
Yeah, but if we ain't got it, Lum, there ain't a chance for him to lose, neither.
Yeah, I've got to get dressed now before these folks get over here. After the wedding, me and you can sit down and talk this thing all over careful. And if we decide it's best to let him in with us on this matrimonial bureau, we can go over there and take him up on his proposition.
Yeah, well, I believe it's a thing to do, Lum. As bad as I hate to have any more dealings with him, I believe it's best.
I reckon I ought to take a wet rag and sort of sponge this collar off. Really need a new one. This celluloid's turning sort of yellery. Get my frock tail coat off the wall there, Abner. That's it covered up with them newspapers.
Huh? Yeah, I see it.
Ain't had that thing on since the day we sold oil well.
No. Well, you were sure dressed up that day, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Get these papers off of here for
that me. Was a good deal I made that day, too. I do say so myself. Smartest thing I done was making Squire sign that agreement to where if anything happened to the oil well, he wouldn't have no comeback on us.
Yeah, and if you hadn't lost it.
Well, it weren't my fault, Abner. I pinned it right in my coat
pocket.
Oh,
I know, Lum. I know. I ain't blaming you. No, not at all. Here, slip this on. I'll help you. Try it on for size, sort of.
Much obliged. How do I look?
All right. Why?
Yeah, I just wondered. I always feel sort of important when I get this outfit on.
Yeah.
Where's that wedding ceremony I wrote out?
Oh, yeah. Here it is, right there.
Expect I better slip that in my inside coat pocket so if I do forget, I can sort of take it out and glance at it.
Be ashamed if you was to get them about half married and forget what else you was going to say.
Yeah. I never will forget when I first started Jess as a piece. And it was a young couple come to me to get married and...
Come to you to get married and what?
Abner. Hey, Granny, looky there.
What is it?
Well, sure, I recollect now. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, I had this coat on the day I made the deal. The day I sold the oil business. Well, no wonder I couldn't find it. I was looking in the wrong coat. Why, sure.
What are you talking about, Mom?
The agreement that Squire Skimp signed. Here it is right here. It's been in this pocket all the time, and I never once thought about having this coat on.
Well, with this important paper back in their possession, the old fellow should have no worries as to the outcome of the lawsuit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a little visit to the Stevens home. Mrs. Stevens is just returning from her shopping, and we find her talking to her little daughter.
I bought you a present, Dorothy.
Honest, Mom? What?
You just wait and see. It's in one of those big packages. We'll open it up in a minute. Here, you hold this while I take off this coat.
Oh, let's open my present first. Come on, Mom. You can take your coat off in just a minute.
Oh, all right. Here, you better let me open that. You'll have everything all over the floor.
Oh, let me open it, Mom.
Oh, all right. Careful.
Oh, I will be.
There now.
See? I didn't spill anything.
There's your present. That large glass bottle there. Those are Horlick malted milk tablets.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Are these just like Horlick's malted milk? Why did you buy me tablets this time? Didn't they have any regular Horlick?
Oh, yes. But you can carry Horlick's tablets to school with you.
Oh, to school? Really?
Yes, that's why I bought them for you. Horlick's tablets are just like Horlick's malted milk, dear. The same thing, but in tablet form. You'll love them, I know. Here, just dissolve one or two in your mouth.
Mmm, these taste awful good, Mom.
I know they do. They're awfully good for you, too, dear. When you're at school or out playing, they'll give you nourishment and energy. Keep you from getting too hungry or too tired.
Well, I'm going to tell all the other kids at school about Horlick's tablets tomorrow. I'll bet they'll want their mothers to buy them some, too.
You can't blame them, can you? And I think their mothers will be glad to buy them, too. There isn't anything that helps children develop healthy bodies like Horlick's malted milk, either in tablet or powder form.
And there's a fine suggestion for all you mothers. Let your children carry a supply of those nourishing, energy-giving Horlick's malted milk tablets to school. You can get them, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor. The small 10-cent size flask can be conveniently carried in a coat pocket, and the tablets come in larger bottles, too. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlick's, who now bid you all good night and good health. Ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlick's, the original malted milk. The ease with which it can be digested by the impaired or delicate system makes Horlick's malted milk a wonderful food drink for invalids and convalescents. This easy digestibility is the result of Horlick's special process of modifying full cream milk with the nutritive extracts of wheat and malted barley. Horlick's is nourishing, energy-giving, just the kind of food the sick person needs to give him strength and aid recovery. Horlick's is a delicious drink, too. Its fine, rich flavor does not grow tiresome, even when Horlick's is regularly included in the diet. A glass full of Horlick's malted milk can be easily and quickly prepared by simply mixing with water. It isn't necessary to add any flavoring or ordinary milk. Just use sufficient of the powder to bring out the wonderful flavor and aroma. Horlick's malted milk can be obtained, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist's. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. When Lum and Abner announced over the party line a few days ago that they were opening up a matrimonial bureau in Pine Ridge, and offering free advice on domestic problems, little did the old fellows realize the enormous response that they would receive. For the last few days, they've been swamped with letters from everywhere, subscribing to their service and seeking their advice on domestic problems. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Lum and Abner over at Lum's house, where they've been busy all day answering letters. Listen.
Well, here's one from Crawfordville, Indiana.
Crawfordville.
Gentlemen, I heard your talk over the party line the other day, and you said you would help those interested in matrimony. Please help me find a nice young man who would make me a good husband.
Yeah.
I prefer a man who lives in the city and would like a tall brunette, but would consider a short blonde.
Yeah, she ain't very choicy, then.
No. I am enclosing a picture of myself. I am 5'1" tall.
Let me see your picture, then.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm. Right pretty, ain't she?
Yeah, no, she oughtn't have no trouble finding her man. And she goes on here, says, I am 18-year-old and graduated.
Graduated.
From high school.
Well.
I can cook and take care of a house.
Huh?
Well, that's what it says here in the letter.
Oh.
Please find me a young man as soon as possible. Miss L-R-R-L-B, it is.
Yeah, put that over there in that stack, then.
Yeah.
Granny, it's mostly women folks wanting to get married, looks
yeah.
like. What we need here is some letters from men folks.
Well, there's some letters there from men, Lum.
Yeah, but none of them never sent no pictures of themselves.
No.
These women folks want to see what a fella looks like before they get married.
Yeah.
Love's blind, all that stuff, but not plumb blind.
Yeah, here's another from a woman here. It says, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, she ain't looking for no husband. She's just wanting some advice on how to handle the one she's got.
Good. What do she wants to know?
Says, my problem is, every morning my husband gets up and sits behind the stove. So when I want to sleep, When I want to sweep, I have to sweep around him. Could you tell me how to make him move? Yours very truly, L-R-A, East Peoria, Illinois.
Well, that ought to be easy.
Yeah, sure. She just ought to get up early to do her sweeping. She ought to have a house cleaned up before he gets out of bed.
And she ought to take that broom and use it on him instead of the floor. Whop him once.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the reason he gets back there, so he can keep the stove between him and her. Yeah, I know just how he feels. I've got behind him myself. I've had Elizabeth chase me around the stove trying to swing a broom at me.
Well, the way this letter sounds, she ain't mad at him, though. He's just in the way back there.
Yeah, well, of course, maybe the backside of the stove is the warmest, too, you know.
She could take and turn the stove around then, so the back of it'd be in front.
Yeah. Or she could put two front doors on it, and then there wouldn't be no back to it. But that'd be a lot of bother to put herself to, though.
Yeah, let's see. She could make him do the sweeping.
Reckon he'll come out to eat.
Huh?
I say, you reckon he'll come out from behind there to eat?
I don't know. She never said there in the letter.
Well, I just thinking now, she might sort of coax him out with his breakfast, you know, sort of toll him out from behind there like he would a cat with a saucer of milk, you know.
I don't know as I ever heard of a problem like this before. A feller just gets in back of a stove right away and won't come out at all.
Yeah, bet you I'd get him out from behind there. I'd build such a fire in that stove to where he'd have to move.
Yeah, and it'd be too hot for her to sweep back there then.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me see that letter.
Yeah, that's got me stumped. I don't know what to do.
Well, we've got to figure it out some way.
Yeah, or two.
She says, every morning my husband gets up and sits behind the stove, so when I want to sweep, I have to sweep around him.
Yeah.
Of course, she could put a swing in back of the stove there to where his feet would be clean up off the floor, and then she could sweep under him.
Well, why don't you just move the stove so far back in the corner that he can't get behind it? She could do that.
And she's liable to set the house on fire, too.
Well, that ought to get him out from behind there, anyway.
Well, Abner, she can't burn the house down every morning just to get him out.
No. How would it do for her to just take the stove out, just take it down, not have no stove back there?
Could you tell me how to make him move?
Huh?
That's the rest of this letter.
Oh. Well, now, that let's see now. How to make him move, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, that ain't a bad idea, no. If they could move into a house with round rooms in it, why, Then there wouldn't be no corners for him to get back in. They could do that.
Who ever heard of a house with round rooms in it?
Well, I did. The roundhouse down there in the railroad yard at the county seat. It's
well, people right don't live in them, Abner. Read some more letters here. I see right now I'm going to have to study over that in a while. There's ways to make that feller move, all right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, lots of ways, yeah. She could set off a charge of dynamite under him. That'd move
yeah,
him
but out. She don't want to hurt him, Abner. According to the letter, that's the only bad fault he's got, just crawling up behind the stove and refusing to move.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's one from A-M-O-R-Y, Mississippi.
Emory.
Yeah, it's from a man. Says he's got 9 children, and all of them like something different to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, can you suggest how my wife can solve this problem, as she can't cook 9 different things at every meal?
Oh, well, she could just take what they all like and cook it up together and call it hash. That's easy.
Yeah, yeah, she could do that. Now, let's see. Here's a feller from San Antonio, Texas. Well,
yeah.
Well, you read this, Lum. I can't make out that right now.
He must have wrote this with his left hand. Gentlemen, I love my wife very much, but every time we get in a argument, she packs up her clothes and runs home to her mother. Can you help me? Yours truly, John J.W.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth used to do the same thing when we was first married.
You ought to be able to help him then. What did you do?
Why, well, I just had her mother come live with her. That stopped it for a while.
For a while?
Yeah, and then finally, well, her and her mother both packed up and left.
Man, quit you, huh?
Well, they thought they had, but I just packed up and went with them. Yeah, we lived with her folks for about 2 years there.
Well, I ain't going to tell this fella down there in San Antonio to do that.
Well, no, I wouldn't leave them. No, no, Elizabeth's folks wouldn't want perfect strangers to move in on them that way. No. Besides, they've been dead for years, yeah.
Well, I'd love to help this fella. I feel kind of sorrowful for him.
Well, I tried everything to break Elizabeth. About the best way is to just let them go. They'll come back. They'll break themselves of that habit if you just not pay no attention to them. They'll just keep it up just so long, just as long as you run and beg them to come back. Well, they'll go to their mammy every time.
That's pretty good advice right there. We'll just write him that.
Are you ready for another?
Yeah. Let me have some of them letters over here, too.
Yeah, we never will get through this way. Lord, there's a lot of them.
All these in this stack is wanting us to find them a husband, huh?
Yeah, yeah, there's some good lookers in there, too. Oughtn't have no trouble finding them a man at all.
Yeah, but we've got to have some men's pictures to send them. They'd be getting encouraged here.
Yeah, well, here's another wanting to find her husband.
Let's see her.
You always want to look at them, huh?
Mm-hmm. Pretty. Where's she from?
Yeah, Bardwell, Kentucky.
That's too far. Here's one from Hazen, Arkansas.
Hazen, huh?
2 girls writing in. Well, they say in case we do find a husband for them, they want us to, let's see. Yeah, they want to get their 6 months free advice.
Well, I do know. Well, here's one from a woman 82 year old, huh?
Well, look at this. Well, here's a feller that sent a whole batch of pictures of himself.
Well.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
That looks right smart like you, Abner. Where'd these come from?
Let's see it. Why, that is me. Yeah, that's some picture that I sent in for, Lon.
Sent in for?
Yeah, I was in the county seat about a month ago, and a feller had a Kodak right there on the street and just take my picture while I was walking along.
Well, I do know. That's a right good picture of you. Don't look much like you at all.
Yeah, yeah, they don't. They turned out uncommonly well. He give me a special price if I'd take a dozen, so I just ordered a dozen of them.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Aye, Grannies, that gives me an idea. Abner, them pictures is just what we was needing. We can send them to these women folks that's writing in looking for husbands.
Well, wait a minute here, Lum. I ain't wanting to get married. I've got a wife and daughter down in Texas now if I can get them back up here.
Oh, well, you don't have to get married. We've got to send them something so they know we're on the lookout for them a husband.
Yeah, well, Lum, I'd heaped rather not do that.
Well, Abner, you want to make a success with this matrimonial bureau, don't
well,
you?
Well, yeah, but, Lum,
well, we've got to send out some pictures to these women that's looking for husbands or they'll think we can't find them none.
They will.
This will let them know we're working on it, and these will keep them satisfied till we can get them some more pictures to send them.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't nobody going to fall in love with a face like that, nohow. Give me them pictures. I'll just set right down now and mail out the whole dozen.
Well, we don't know, but we're afraid that Lum has talked Abner into something here that he is going to regret. Ladies and gentlemen, Ford Mallory has just come home from the office. He's hanging up his coat and hat now, and Mrs. Mallory has just come in from the kitchen to greet him. Here they are.
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, honey.
Did you see Johnny outside?
No, I didn't. Why?
Why, I thought he'd be camped right on the front doorstep. He's got some great news for you.
Johnny has? What sort of news?
Well, his coach told him today that he's to be a regular member of the basketball team from now on.
No fooling. Well, say, that's great, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. I'll bet Johnny's tickled pink. Yeah, some youngster, huh? Yeah, just like the old man.
Well, I don't seem to remember you as much of an athlete, dear, and I've known you ever since we were in high school together.
Well, there are a lot of things you don't remember.
Don't look so hurt. I didn't mean that.
Well, who is looking hurt?
It is great news, isn't it? I mean about Johnny and the team.
Yeah.
He's so excited. Oh, I'm awfully happy about it. It means everything in the world to him.
Sure, of course it does.
You remember how we used to worry about Johnny?
Yeah.
How afraid we were that he'd never be a healthy, normal boy? Well, I can never thank the doctor enough for having told us to give him Horlick's malted milk.
Well, Horlick's has certainly done wonders for him. There's no question about that.
You know, every time I see that husky, muscular little body, that I remember how thin and how frail he used to be.
Yeah, and every time I see him turn around with his pals, I remember how he used to stay in the house all the time. Never seemed to want to play with the other children.
No.
No, and I guess Johnny himself just as tickled about Horlick's as you and I are.
Yeah.
He certainly loves it, doesn't he?
You know, the minute I see him coming to the kitchen, I know what he's going to ask for. A glass of Horlick's malted milk.
Well, we certainly can't blame Johnny for being so fond of Horlick's. It's a drink that all children love. Made from only full cream milk and the finest of wheat and malted barley, Horlick's is rich in the precious vitamins and mineral elements that help children develop sturdy bodies and sound bones and good teeth. You can get Horlick's, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist's. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlick's, who now bid you all good night and good health. Everybody, here we are all ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlick's, the original malted milk. It is especially important that growing children get plenty of sound, refreshing sleep. Their young bodies need the relaxation, the tonic of a full night's rest. Now, after a day of unusual excitement or a day of unusual physical exertion, children sometimes are unable to get to sleep easily. They are, as we grown-ups sometimes are, too tired to sleep. Well, that's why a cup of Horlick's, hot, is a fine children's bedtime drink. It relaxes their bodies, soothes them, helps them to fall asleep quickly and sleep soundly. Horlick's is just the sort of nourishing, easy-to-digest food which, if taken before retiring, helps both children and grown-ups to sleep more restfully than if they had gone to bed on an empty stomach. Tonight, before your children go to bed, let them drink a cupful of Horlick's hot. You can get Horlick's, you know, either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist's. And now, let's see what's happening in Pine Ridge. Lum and Abner are having the time of their lives these days. The many interesting letters from friends all over the United States are subscribing to their matrimonial bureau. And the domestic problems the old fellows are called upon to solve are keeping them busy day and night. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Abner over at Lum's house, where they are going through their mail. Listen.
And here's a card from LLH, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Well?
Says there is a girl passes my house every day.
For the land's sake.
Sometimes she speaks and sometimes she don't. And I would like to know what to do to get better acquainted with her and get her to like me.
Well, I reckon why she speaks sometimes and sometimes she don't.
Well, I think the whole trouble here is they ain't been introduced to one another. Some girls are sort of fussy about such as that, you know.
Well, no wonder she don't speak if she don't know him. It's a wonder if she ever speaks at all.
Yeah, we got to figure out some way for him to introduce himself to her.
Well, why don't he just step out there and introduce himself?
He can't introduce himself and her walking by. He's got to stop her some way or other.
Yeah. Well, he might drop his handkerchief, and then when she goes to pick it up, well, no, that's right. No, that won't work.
No.
I tell you what he could do, Lum. He can take and tie a rope across the sidewalk, and then when she sails by his house with her head up in the air, why, she'll trip on a rope, and then he can go over and help her to her feet.
No, he better not try nothing like that. I believe the best thing for him to do is just sort of catch up with her and walk along with her ways. Take his hat off his head and say, I don't believe I've made your acquaintance. My name is Lum Edwards. What might yours be?
Oh, no. No, I don't believe that'd do no good, Lum. No. He better use his right name. If he starts out telling her he's somebody else that way, well, they never will get along.
Well, sure, I aim for him to use his right name. I was just...
Oh, his name is Lum Edwards, too, huh?
No, I just used that as an example. And that's what I'd say if I was introducing myself.
Yeah, but you ain't the one that's going to meet her. He wants to know what to do for him to do, not what for you to do.
Well, it don't make no difference what his name is. He knows what his name is.
Why, sure, he knows what his name is, but he's trying to find out a way for her to find out what it is. I still think a rope idea is the best.
Abner, we're going to have a domestic problem here ourselves if we don't quit arguing so much about how to answer these folks' questions. Here, let me have another one of them.
Yeah.
You get me so aggravated, I don't care where we meets the girl or not.
Yeah, here's one here from clean over in South Carolina. Belton, South Carolina.
What's the problem? What do they want to know?
Well, this woman ain't got no complaint. I don't see nothing wrong here.
Well, read it.
I did. I just got done.
Well, read it out loud. I'll decide whether a complaint's justified or not.
Said, I want a little advice from you about my husband. He wants me to do the housework and look after the farm, too, while he rides around all day. Please tell me what to do. Yours truly, Wah.
Huh?
Wah, W-A-W.
Them's initials.
Oh. Now, he ain't asking her to do no more than her share of that. Just do the farm work, the housework.
That ain't very thoughty of him, though, getting out and riding around while she's there working.
Well, maybe he's just tender-hearted, old Lum.
Tender-hearted?
Yeah, maybe he just has to get away from the place that way. I know I never could stand to watch my woman work, neither. Special chopping wood. I just have to take Plum out and go down to the barber shop or summer till she gets done every time.
Well, if this woman's husband just insists on riding around that way, she ought to get him a job carrying a mail route or driving a delivery wagon.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm going to write and tell her, too. Read another in there.
Well, here, Lum, you read them for a while. I can think better when you're reading.
Well, here's a letter from Brohard, West Virginia.
Blowhard.
Brohard. B-R-O.
I don't spell Brohard. That just spells Bro, B-R-O.
There it is. Look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Says, gentlemen.
Well?
My husband and I get along fine.
Well, that's the first one like that we've got yet.
Yeah, but he has a bad habit of talking with his hands.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it?
Why, sure, if they're working for him, he's got to tell them what to do. You take a lot of hard hands that way, they won't do nothing less than you tell them.
His two hands, Abner.
Well, it don't make no difference how many he's got, Lum. I don't see nothing wrong with talking to him.
He ain't talking about hired hands, Abner. He has two hands, these.
Them's yours.
I know it. He's talking with his hands, these kind of hands.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He says he has a bad habit of talking with his hands.
Well, I do know. I don't see what enjoyment he gets out of that. His hands can't understand what he's saying or answer him back or nothing else.
I know they can't.
Looks like anybody would have sense enough to know that. Howdy, Lefty. How are you today? Come on, wake up here. Here, how are you?
What in the world are you doing?
I just trying that out, Lum. I was talking to my hand here, but it never paid no attention to him. That won't work.
For goodness sake.
I just write and tell that woman that if her husband sits and talks to his hands all the time, he's losing his reasoning.
She never said he talked to his hands. She said he talked with them.
Well, that's worse than ever. She the same as saying there, his hands answering back. She talks with him.
Well, Abner, she said that, but that ain't what she means at all.
Well, they ought to write what they mean. These problems is hard enough to figure out without us having to read folks' minds.
Well, what she means is he used his hands to talk with instead of his mouth.
What? You mean to say that he...
Wait a minute, wait just a minute. I see right now I said the wrong thing there. He talks with his mouth, but used his hands to make motions with.
Make motions?
Yeah, you saw fellas use their hands that way. Somebody get mad and shake their fist in your face while he's talking to you.
Oh, that's what it is. He wants to fight, huh? Well, I don't blame
him. No, Abner, he don't want to fight.
Well, what's he doing shaking his fist in her face, then? He's in the habit of doing that. Well, she has got a problem there. I don't blame her a bit. I don't see how they get along at all.
Will you shut up for just a minute? I'll read the rest of the letter here.
Shaking his fist on woman's
face. Get some idea in your head, and it takes a stick of dynamite to move it out.
Well, I don't care. It just makes me mad to see a man bully a woman around that way. I wouldn't no more think of shaking my fist in Elizabeth's face and... No. I reckon I wouldn't. She'd about bite it off for me.
She goes on to say here, I don't mind him talking with his hands around the house.
No.
Hands around the house. Oh.
Yeah, that's an awful big armful, you know it.
With his hands around the house, but when we go out in the car, he takes his hands off the wheel to point out all the spots of interest, and I am afraid he'll wreck the car.
Yeah.
Can you advise me how to break him of this habit? Yours truly, M.M.
Well, I do know. Well,
see, she just wants him to keep both hands on the steering wheel while he's driving the car.
Oh, yeah. If they get to fighting in the car, there's no telling what happened.
Abner, I wish you'd get the idea of fighting out of your head.
Well, I ain't wanting to fight nobody. He's the one that started shaking his fist.
Well, I'm going to start one here in a minute if you don't shut up. This lady wants to know how to break her husband or talking with his hands while he's driving the car, and we've got to figure out something here to tell her.
Well, tell her to tie his hands to the steering wheel. That'll stop him.
It'll stop him from talking at all. He about go to point out something and his wife right quick and swing the car right into something. No, that wouldn't work.
No, I see.
This lady wants to know how to break her husband or talking with his hands while he's driving the car, and we've got to figure out something here to tell her.
Well, tell her to tie his hands to the steering wheel. That'll stop him.
It'll stop him from talking at all. He about go to point out something and his wife right quick and swing the car right into something. No, that wouldn't work.
No, I see it wasn't that.
Well, what's funny about it?
Well, I was just thinking, what'd happen if he started away with somebody he knowed he seen on the street? He'd about turn the car clean around right in the middle of the road, wouldn't he?
Yeah. No wonder this lady's rode in. I can see the trouble she must be having with him.
Poor little thing. Poor little thing. Yeah.
Mike could give him a batch of taffy candy and let him pull that while they're out driving.
Well, I don't know, though, Lum. He'd get that stuck all over the steering wheel, old, and then his hands would get stuck there. You know, that'd be worse than ever. He couldn't turn nothing in.
Bad as tying his hands, sir.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, ain't but one thing that I see to do to a fella like that, Lum.
What?
Just put him in a straitjacket. Doggy, he couldn't use his hands to point with the hands had him in.
Couldn't
there.
Drive the car neither.
No,
now, we ain't getting nowhere this way, Abner. Those folks been nice enough to write to our matrimonial bureau, be getting impatient.
Yeah.
We've got 100, 200, 300 problems here.
Well, why don't you just call up on the party line, Mom? Just tell them that we're having a little trouble, but we'll get to there as quick as we can.
Yeah, I expect I better do that.
Yeah, it's going to be awful slow going. I can see that right now.
Yeah, we can answer what we got here.
Yeah. Well, using a fire alarm ring again.
Yeah, it always gets them to the phone.
Yeah.
Everybody's curious about fires.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Receivers are just a rattling.
If that fella talked with his hands, they could make him talk over a phone. Then he couldn't use his hands, could he?
Oh, for goodness sake, we'll quit talking about that. Hand me that list there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Howdy, everybody. This is the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. Lum Edwards, president, talking. Me and Abner's just been covered up with your letters, but we're going to try to get around to answering all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a few answers. Mr. F.W. at Fultz, Kentucky, we're on the lookout for you a husband. And the five girls at Tuscaloosa, Alabama, we'll do our best for you. And Miss H.P. at Chattanooga, Tennessee, oughtn't to have no trouble in your case at all. And Patty at Grafton, West Virginia, it's going to be hard to find a man like you're looking for, but we'll try.
Yeah, that's one that wants a man to do all the work.
And GJS with that big car, you oughtn't to have no trouble. Now, you girls down in Vandalia, Louisiana, you've got the right idea there. Uncommonly smart young women. And CMS at Sedalia, Missouri, got a feller already picked out for you. MJR at Davenport, Iowa, yes. Kate at Lincoln, Nebraska, yes. R.B. Richfield. No, R.B. at Richfield, New York. Go ahead with your present plans. And Herb at Fort Worth, Texas. You better keep the wife you've got. She's probably a heap better than you deserve. And D. at Wichita, Kansas. Your oil proposition sounds good. I believe you bring in a goocher there. Well, that's all the questions for today, folks. We're more likely to ring you up again tomorrow.
Well, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau is certainly a success. And from the response the old fellows have had, we'd say it's just what this country needed. When busy at work or in your home, it's a good idea to make your noonday luncheon one that is nourishing, yet easy to digest. It's much better for you than the heavy, hard-to-digest meal which is so apt to leave you feeling drowsy and listless later. Now, you won't find a finer luncheon anywhere than a glass full of Horlicks malted milk. Horlicks is a nourishing and energy-giving food drink, sustaining enough to carry you through the busiest afternoon. A refreshing and delicious drink, too, and one that can be easily digested by the most delicate system. It's a very simple matter, by the way, to make a glass full of Horlicks quickly, either at home or at your work. When mixed with water alone, Horlicks is a tasty, full-flavored drink. Try the Horlick Luncheon tomorrow noon. Overweight people will find it a very effective reducing plan, for Horlicks doesn't have the heavy luncheon's excess of calories. You can get Horlicks, you know, either in the natural or the chocolate flavor at your druggist. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlicks, who bid you all good night and good health. Here we are all ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlicks, the original malted milk. You know, a fine way to help children keep from getting too hungry or too tired when at school or out playing is to let them carry a supply of Horlicks malted milk tablets. Horlicks malted milk, as you know, is made from rich, full cream milk and the finest of wheat and malted barley. Well, Horlicks tablets have the same qualities which make Horlicks malted milk such a great children's food drink. Horlicks tablets are nourishing, energy-giving, easily digestible by the youthful system. They contain the precious vitamins and mineral elements which help develop healthy, sturdy bodies and strong bones and teeth. And they have a delicious flavor which children love. Horlicks malted milk tablets come in either natural or chocolate flavor. You can get one of the handy 10-cent size flasks or one of the larger sizes at your druggist's. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. Well, the old fellows have discovered that operating a matrimonial bureau is no small job. They have received hundreds of applications, and together with the many domestic problems that they've been asked to solve, Their new business is consuming practically all of their time. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Abner has just entered Lum's house, reporting for the day's work. Listen.
Well, come in, Abner. I've got a surprise for you.
Well, for the land's sake, what in the world are you doing, Lum? Why, you're going to get paint all over that carpet.
Oh, I'm nearly done now. Just putting on the finishing touches, sort of.
Well, what is it?
It's a sign for a matrimonial bureau. Step over here where you can see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. I'm Edward, president, and justice of the peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that Indian doing there?
Indian?
Yeah.
That's Cupid. He's fixing to shoot a bow and arrow at that heart over there.
Well, I do know.
Yeah, I sat up till about 9 o'clock last night working on this thing.
Well, wait a minute here, Long. You got that fellow with the bow and arrow standing on his head there.
No, you're looking at it upside
down.
Well,
I ain't done it. The letters is all right from over here, but he's upside down.
Well, wait a minute, I granny. Well, I'll swan to goodness.
Sure he is.
Well, it's too late now. Well, I believe that'll be better anyway. There's a Cupid that can hit them hearts standing on his head.
Well, what's the idea of having a picture of somebody shooting a bow and arrow, anyway?
I told you that's Cupid. That's that trademark I told you I was going to figure out first. Cupid's is a sign of love.
Yes.
You know, like they have on Valentine's and such as that.
Well, I never seen nothing like that on a Valentine. That looks more like a picture of some heavyweight wrestler to me.
Well, I reckon I did get him looking a little older than he ought to.
Well, how old is he supposed to be?
Now, grannies, I don't know how old Cupid is supposed to be. Just babies, though.
Well, if that's a baby, I'd hate to see him when he gets full grown. That ain't no baby, Lum. Look at them muscles. He's full grown right
well,
now.
Well, Abner, if you're going to stand there and make fun of this sign, you can just get out till I get done.
I ain't making fun of it. I'm just telling you how it looks to me. I'll tell you another thing, too. The way he's got that arrow pointing there, he's going to miss that heart by about 4 foot.
Oh, well, he ain't ready to shoot yet. He's just taking aim. He'll draw her down there straight before he shoots, I reckon.
I thought he was shooting at them birds up there in the far corner at first.
No, them's love birds up there. See them kissing one another there? Ain't that sweet?
Yeah, reckon it's all right, but I still think they're going to get shot if they don't move or that young giant there don't take better aim at that heart one.
Yeah, I wish we had some electric lights to put on it. It'd be the first electric sign in Pine Ridge.
Well, what in the world would we want with electric signs?
Why, so folks could read it of a night.
Well, law me, Lum, everybody's in bed around here by 9 o'clock at night. Wouldn't nobody see it if we did have lights on it.
Yeah, but think how nice it'd look. We could put a light right there in Cupid's hand. That way it'd look like as if he was holding it, sort of.
Well, now, Lum, now let's don't go to no expense on this thing.
Abner, this is a big outfit, this matrimonial bureau is. We can't expect to run a business like this without spending some money and getting started.
Yeah, but where are we going to get the money? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, we got so far that free board from Sister Simpson. She ain't going to keep that up long if we don't hurry up and find her husband.
Why, the money will just start rolling in here for long.
Well, now, Lum, I'm going to take the first money that rolls in here and send for Elizabeth and Pearl. Get them back home. I'm tired of batching.
Well, all right. We'll leave off the electric lights, but I still say it's a good idea, though.
Well, if you're just bound and determined to have a light on it, Lum, I've got a lantern over at the place that you could hang on.
Now, wouldn't that look fine? Wouldn't that look fine, a lantern hanging on a sign?
Well, it'd light it up.
Well, just forget about it. I wish I could think of something to put up there in that corner there. Fill out that blank space there, sort of.
Well, put my name in there. You've got yours down here.
Yeah, we've got enough reading on there. I was trying to think of some kind of a picture I could draw on it. Something representing love, matrimony.
Love, yeah. Let me see now. You wouldn't want to draw my picture on it, I don't reckon, would you?
Your picture?
Yeah.
Representing love?
Well, I just sort of trying to think of something to, you know, and put on there, and I just happened to think of myself. I reckon it's because I'm sitting here and all.
Wait a minute. I know what I'll do. I'll put some wedding bells up there. And that way I got all four corners took care of.
Yeah.
There's a Cupid, and the wedding bells will go right up there, and the heart and the lovebirds. There's a work of art, you know it. I ought to have been an artist.
Yeah, it would have helped, Lum. You could have did better, all right.
I reckon they'll know who drawed this without me putting my name on there.
Well, now, it might be best for you to put your name on there again, Lum. I don't want nobody thinking I done it.
No, we wouldn't want nobody. Huh?
Nothing.
I just put Broadby right there over my name. That'll set any arguments about the matter. Broadby, Lum Edwards, president and justice of the peace.
Now, Lama, what you going to do with it when you get it done?
Why, we're going to put it up in the front of the Jot 'em Down store down there. We're moving our office.
Moving?
Yeah, this ain't no place to run a matrimonial bureau here in a house this way. Go down there in that store building there, we'll have plenty of room.
Yeah, Lord, we'll be lost in that place, Lum. All we need is somewhere to open up a letter and answer them.
Yeah, we got to have a place to file all these applications for husbands and wives, though. Them shelves down there will be the very thing.
They will.
Why, sure. Put the men that's looking for wives on one side of the store and the women that's looking for husbands on the other.
Yeah.
Put the blondes in on one shelf and the brunettes in another. And
yeah.
The tall ones in one place and the short ones somewhere else.
Yeah.
Divide all up that way so when we get an order for a husband or a wife, we can see what kind they want and go right to them. A filing system, sort of.
Hey, doggies, now that ain't a bad idea, you know. Just like selling stuff out of the store, ain't it?
Why, sure. Get an order, and instead of reaching up and getting a can of tomatoes, we'll just reach up and get a blonde for them.
You mean if somebody orders a can of tomatoes, we'll send them a blonde?
No, I just said tomatoes. I mean that there's difference between running the matrimonial bureau and running the store.
Oh, yeah, I see. I thought you meant...
Wait a minute. Somebody there at the door. Come in.
Well, howdy, Dick.
Well, Dick Huddleston, come in.
Howdy, howdy. How are you fellas today?
Oh, just only tolerably, Dick. How's yourself?
Yeah, I smell turpentine in here.
Yeah, I've been doing a little painting here. See how you like our new sign, Dick?
Yeah, yeah. Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau, drawn by Lum Edwards, president of the president and justice of the peace. Yeah, yeah, that's all right, huh? what's this supposed to be here, Cupid?
Yeah, see there, Abner, Dick guessed it the first time.
Yeah, I told him it looked more like a heavyweight wrestler.
Well, he is pretty husky, all right. Well, that's not bad, though, Lum, not bad.
I figured him shooting so many arrows that way, he sort of developed his muscles.
Yeah. Well, here's some more mail for you fellas. Come down here to the store a while ago. Most of it's addressed to the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau.
Yeah, well, much obliged, Dick. Thank
you. And these letters here are for you, Abner.
For me?
Wait a minute, you mean all them's for Abner?
Yeah, they're addressed to Abner Peabody and care of the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau.
Wait a minute here. Abner, you ain't been going around telling folks you're the president of the Matrimonial Bureau or nothing like that, have you?
Why, no.
Well, open them up. Let's see who'd be writing you. Them can't all be from Elizabeth.
Oh, no, no. This ain't her handwriting at all, no.
Well, go ahead and read it.
Says, Dear Mr. Peabody, I received your picture and the description the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau sent of you. I am very much interested in you and would like to correspond with you. Would you tell me more about yourself? You remind me so much of my grandfather. Yours truly, Maxine Norton, Holdenville, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I do. Reminder of her grandfather.
Well, what does she mean there? She received Abner's picture and description.
Well, I tell you, Dick, we kept getting these letters from women folks wanting us to find them a husband, and we never had no pictures of men to send out, so we sent out a bunch of pictures of Abner that he had here at the house.
Well, now, listen, Lum. You're liable to get Abner in some serious trouble with his wife gone and everything.
Oh, I don't think anything ever come of it. We
oh,
just...
Oh, my goodness. Now we've did it,
What's
Lum.
The matter?
I told you I
What's
told
the matter?
You
What's
I
the matter
you?
With you?
Read that. Just read
well,
it.
Well, let me have it. Turn it loose. My dearest darling Abner.
Oh, my.
I received your picture and fell in love with you at first sight. You are the man of my dreams.
Oh, me.
Wait for me, darling. I will be in Pine Ridge within the next few days. Oodles of love, Hortense
oh,
Kelly.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness.
Well, if Hortense Kelly is coming to Pine Ridge to see Abner, it's a mighty good thing that Elizabeth is out of town. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Tarpey is rummaging around in the kitchen of his home. I wonder what he's doing out there. Let's look in on the scene for just a minute.
I wonder where Martha keeps that package of Horlicks. It used to be right on this shelf. No, this isn't... Oh, hey, Martha. Martha, come here a minute, will you please?
What are you bellowing about?
About this. Now, what's this?
It's a package of malted milk. One look at the label ought to tell you that. Well, what about it?
Didn't we go over this about 6 months ago?
Why, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I remember. You mean about Horlicks and imitations of it. Well, I'll tell you, dear, I was in Smith's drugstore yesterday. No, it was the day before yesterday. Yeah. I went downtown with Jane Wilson yesterday. She was asking about you, Jim. Said that she...
Now, let's skip all that just now. What was the idea of bringing this and not Horlicks?
Well, I saw a chance to save a few pennies. You're always talking to me about economy. Why, only last night, for instance, you said that...
Why do you always have to economize on things you buy for me? Besides, you missed the whole point of that economy lecture of mine. You'll remember that I said to you that...
Oh, let's not go all over that again.
No, well, all right. Now, look, Martha. You know that I don't like anything but Horlicks. I never have. Horlicks cost a bit more than cheap substitutes, yes. But that's because it's worth more, a good deal more. Why do you want to throw money away on a thing like this? Won't you please remember to always get Horlicks?
Of course I will, dear. I'm awfully sorry I forgot this time. Honestly, I'll never do it again. I'll take that package back to Smith and exchange it for Horlicks. I'll go right now. Maybe you'd like to walk along with me.
Yes, I'll go with you. Oh, Smith, huh? I guess I'll have a talk with old man Smith, too. Leave him instructions never to sell you anything but Horlicks. Then I'll be protected in case you ever have another lapse of memory.
Well, it looks like that cheap imitation of Horlicks caused plenty of trouble in the Tarpey family. You'll have to give Jim credit, though, for knowing what he wants. He knows that you just can't find a substitute for Horlicks. Knows that only Horlicks, the original malted milk, gives you full return for your money. Not only in its unexcelled flavor, but also in its food value. You can get Horlicks, you know, either natural or chocolate flavor, at your druggist. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlicks, who bid you all good night and good health. Here we are all ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlicks, the original malted milk. Now here's a simple, safe, reducing plan for overweight people. An effective way to lose excess pounds without discomfort or without resorting to methods of which your doctor might not approve. Drink a glass full of Horlicks at noon instead of eating a heavy meal. Here's why that Horlick luncheon will help you people who are anxious to regain a youthful waistline. Horlicks, while it is nourishing, energy-giving, and sustaining, doesn't have the heavy meal's excess of calories. When you drink a glass full of Horlicks for luncheon instead of a heavier meal, you are reducing your caloric intake. And that, as you probably know, is the fundamental principle of losing weight. There's another thing about the Horlick luncheon, too. It's much easier to digest than is a heavy meal. And that's why Horlicks at noon will keep you alert later. Why it will not leave you feeling drowsy or listless. Try the Horlick luncheon tomorrow. You can get Horlick's malted milk, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist's. And you can prepare a glass of Horlicks quickly and easily, either at home or at your work. Mix it with water alone. You don't need to add any flavoring or any raw milk to make a delicious and full-flavored glassful of Horlicks. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. You know, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau has received hundreds of applications from women in search of a husband. A few days ago, not having any pictures of prospective husbands to send out, Lum conceived the idea of mailing out a few pictures of Abner. Well, evidently, Abner's pictures made quite a hit with the ladies. Among other letters, yesterday he received one from a Miss Hortense Kelly, who stated that she had fallen in love with him through his picture and was coming to Pine Ridge to pay him a visit soon. As we look in on the old fellows today, we find that they have moved their office back down to the store building formerly occupied by their Jot 'em Down store. Abner seems very much worried over Miss Kelly's threatened visit. Listen.
Well, now, Lum, you got me into this, and it's up to you to get me out of it.
Well, Abner, I told you 100 times you ain't into nothing. Yet.
Well, I'd like to know why I ain't. A woman coming down here wanting to marry me, and me already married.
Oh, she ain't coming down here.
She says she is, and that letter said it was a case of love at first sight, and for me to wait for her, that she's coming down here.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's just more than likely having a little fun out of you.
No, sir. No, sir, Lum. That woman is in love with me. I can tell the way she talked in that letter, or wrote in it.
Well, if she was to come down here and got a good look at you, she'd more likely catch the next train back home.
I don't know, Lum. Women folks fall in love with me awful easy. I just wish sometimes that I weren't so handsome.
Handsome?
I know it'd get me in trouble sooner or later. It's these big blue eyes of mine that does it.
You ain't getting stuck on yourself over them women folks writing to you, are you?
Well, no, but they can't all be wrong, Lum. One of them others said that she thought I had understanding eyes.
Yeah, understanding eyes.
What you said?
She ain't got good sense, but I can tell that by reading her letter.
Well, I don't know what to do about it. I'm just a good mind to write her a letter and tell her not to come.
No, I wouldn't start writing her no letters now. You will get yourself involved, sure enough. Best thing to do is just ignore her.
Well, I ought to write and tell her I'm already married.
No, don't tell her that. You give the matrimonial bureau a black eye. If she finds out we're sending out pictures of a man that's already married, don't tell her what she'll think.
Well, what do you think that Elizabeth's going to think when she finds it out? She'll about give me 2 black eyes.
Well, if she does come down here to see you, the thing to do is just not let Elizabeth know nothing about it. It's a good thing she's still down there in Texas visiting.
Yeah, well, that won't help matters none, Lum. The first thing that Sister Simpson or some of these other gossips around here will do is sit right down and write her a letter and tell her about the whole business. And by the time Elizabeth hears about it, well, they'll have a truth stretched to fur out of shape, but there ain't no telling what they'll have her believing. You know how Sister Simpson zagorates.
Oh, well, Elizabeth will take your word again there.
Well, if she does, she's changed a lot since she went down there, I'll say that.
I just allowed a man's wife always believed her husband before they would anybody else.
Yeah, well, of course, you never have been married, or you never would make such a remark as that. You've just got it right square backwards. Elizabeth will believe anything bad about me that she hears, regardless of who tells it to her.
Oh, you're just making a mountain out of a molehill.
Huh?
I say, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. What I mean by that is...
I know what you mean. You don't have to explain stuff to me.
Well, that's the first time I ever knowed you to understand what I was talking about.
Well, I don't know why you'd say that. Special about me.
Well, generally, always when I quote one of them old Eddard sayings of mine, I've got to stop and explain to you what I'm talking about.
Huh.
It's just like arguing with a stump on fire to get it through your thick head.
Oh, well, no, I've heard that old saying all my life, Lum. Of course, you never said it right, but I knowed what you was trying to say.
I never said it right.
No, you got it sort of mixed up there, Lum. The way the saying goes is that if you can't take the mountain to the molehill, take the molehill to the mountain. That's the saying.
Oh, for goodness sake. You're talking about Mohammed in the mountain.
No, I said molehill, Lum. You just misunderstood me.
I know what you said. I mean, you're thinking about Mohammed.
I ain't no such a thing. I ain't thinking about nothing.
Yes, you are. I know what you're thinking about.
Well, now, Lum, I reckon I ought to know more about what I'm thinking about than you do. You can't read my mind.
No, and nobody else can. More than likely ain't nothing in your head there but a big vacuum.
A vacuum? For the land's sake. Why, there ain't room for a vacuum in my head. Where would they put the handle?
Oh, for goodness sakes, Abner, where would they put that? What I meant, you're taking a little bitty molehill that don't amount to nothing and trying to make a big mountain out of it. Taking this little letter you got from that woman and making such a to-do over it.
Well, now, which?
Which what?
Which am I trying to do?
I say, that's what you're doing when you take this letter so serious. You're making a mountain out of it.
Oh, I think I understand what you mean now. You mean if I can't get her to come here, that I'll have to go there, huh?
No, you're still thinking about Mohammed.
No, her name is Hortense. Don't you remember, Lum? Hortense Kelly, that's her name.
Abner, you're getting yourself all twisted up now.
Huh?
Set still, I mean you're getting your mind twisted up.
Just
forget about the mountain. Forget about Hortense, too. You're just worrying yourself over nothing. Wait till she gets here. Then it'll be time enough to start worrying.
Yeah, it'll be too late then. Now, Lum, you just got to study up some way to keep that woman away from here.
I told you to quit thinking about it. Even if she does come again, she sees you, she'll know she's made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, but I don't want her coming down here. I tell you, Lum, I'll smell trouble in it.
Well, Abner, you can't keep the woman from coming to Pine Ridge if she wants to. There ain't no law again coming down here.
Well, Dad, blamed if I don't believe you want her to come.
Oh, I ain't particular about it. I would love to see if she's as pretty as her picture shows her to be.
Picture? I ain't saw no picture of her.
Well, I did. I'd forgot which one she was, but after you got that letter yesterday, I got sort of curious to see what she looked like, so I got out the letter she sent us about herself when she made the application for a husband.
Yeah.
There's her picture there.
Well, what you doing carrying it around your pocket that way?
No, I just... Well, what difference does it make?
Toby, she is a right smart of a looker, ain't she?
Yeah, that's the prettiest one we've got yet.
Oh, she is a dandy.
She's red-headed, according to the description she sent in about herself.
Wouldn't be surprised.
26-year-old.
Well?
She's an actress.
Is that right?
Yeah, win a marathon dancing contest.
Well, I do. Bless her heart.
Stands 5'2" and weighs 112 pounds.
Well, I'll swan to goodness.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah, I see now. Yeah. You just want to get that woman down here so you can see her yourself.
Well, where did you get such ideas
That's
that in
just
you?
About the side of it. I see through the whole thing now. Yeah, you scared to send your own picture, feared that Evelina'd find out about it, so you sent
her
mine.
Now, wait a minute, Abner. Just calm yourself
down. And you're
going
to sit down there right now and tell her that you made a mistake and sent her the wrong picture. That feller she's in love with had done married.
I ain't going to write her no such a thing. You know how come he to send them pictures of you out. They was the only ones we had here.
Either you sit down and write her not to come, or I'm going to step right there at the telephone and call up Evelina.
Call up Evelina?
Yes, sir, and tell her that you're in love with Hortense.
Go ahead. Call her. Call her up.
That's just what I'm going to do, yes, sir. I bet she'll stop her from coming down here.
Abner, get away from that telephone.
I ain't going to do it. I said I was going to tell her, and I'm going to tell her.
Abner.
I don't know what... Hello?
Abner.
Sister Simpson?
Oh, my goodness.
Is Evelina there?
Abner, give me that receiver.
Tell her to step to the telephone, please, Mom.
Give me
I'll
that
show you.
Receiver.
I'll show you. Yes,
what are you trying to do? Break me and Evelina
well,
up?
Well, I'd rather break you and Evelina up than have that woman break me and Elizabeth up.
All right. I'll write the letter. Hang up the receiver.
Hey, wait a minute. Here's Evelina now. Hello?
Here, give me that receiver. Hello, who is this? Who? Evelina. Well, you've got the wrong number. This is the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. Goodbye. Now, stay away from that telephone.
Well, write that letter, Lum, or I'll be right back up there saying it again.
Abner, this ain't nothing but out-and-out blackmail. What do you want me to say?
Just tell her that you sent the wrong picture and that she better not come down here on account of I'm done married.
All right. Hand me that pencil there.
Doggy, that's a relief. Just wouldn't do for her to come down here alone.
Well,
Elizabeth, just go high.
Looky yonder.
Well, howdy, Dick.
Yeah, come in, Dick.
Well, moved back down here in the old store building, have you?
Yeah, we never had room over at my place for the matrimonial office.
Yeah. Well, I went over looking for you. I got a telegram here for you, Abner.
Telegram?
Where?
Yeah, they left it down there at the store. I told them I'd see that you got it.
Well, I do know. I bound you from Elizabeth and Pearl that you're coming home.
Sit down, Dick, and loaf a while.
Yeah, looks natural to see you fellas back over here at the store.
Yeah, we're sitting here today thinking. I wish we'd never sold our store.
Yeah.
Seems so quiet around here without no merchandise in the shelves.
What's the matter, Abner?
For goodness sakes, Abner. You look like you saw a ghost. What's the matter?
Must be something in that telegram, Lum. Nothing happened to your wife, has it, Abner?
Mr. Abner Peabody, Pine Ridge. Darling, I will arrive tomorrow. Can hardly wait to see you. Love, Hortense.
Well, it's too late now. Hortense is probably already on her way to Pine Ridge. Ladies and gentlemen, poor and unhealthy teeth and gums are the cause of much suffering and misery. It's most important that every one of us give our teeth proper care. And it's doubly important that we parents keep a careful watch over the condition of our children's teeth. For sound and healthy teeth are formed during childhood years. Three things are important in preventing decay. First, regular visits to the dentist. And second, regular and proper cleaning of the teeth. Third, and just as important as the other two, is proper diet. The teeth and gums, like other parts of the body, are made from the food that we eat. The same foods that build up healthy teeth will protect teeth against decay. Now, calcium, phosphorus, and the vitamins are elements that are responsible for the formation of healthy teeth. And Horlick's malted milk is an excellent source of all of these elements. To help children develop sound teeth and gums, give them several glassfuls of Horlick's every day. To do so is to spare your child much unhappiness in later years. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlick's, who now bid you all good night and good health. Everybody, here we are all ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlick's, the original malted milk. Because Horlick's malted milk is so energy-giving and refreshing, athletic coaches and trainers recommend it as a fine after-exercise drink. It restores the energy that has been expended by physical activity, helps the athlete to recuperate and relax. The makers of Horlick's recently received a letter from a nationally known athlete who is now head coach and athletic director of a Pennsylvania high school. This gentleman said, quote, "While a member of the Los Angeles and Portland baseball clubs of the Pacific Coast League, I never failed to drink a glass of Horlick's after every game to build up lost energy. I found, in fact, that I recovered strength and energy after a glass of Horlick's faster than I did after a heavy meal. This was undoubtedly due to the easier digestibility of Horlick's. Here at the high school, my football and basketball teams enjoy Horlick's after games as much as I do. I might add that I have made it a point to tell coaches who are friends of mine about the benefits of Horlick's malted milk tablets for quick energy during timeout periods." End of quote. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. You know, several days ago, not having pictures of other men to send to the female applicants of the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau, Lum decided to send out some pictures of Abner. Well, yesterday, Abner received a wire from a Miss Hortense Kelly stating that she had fallen in love with his picture and would arrive in Pine Ridge today. As we look in on our old friends, it is early morning. We find Lum over at Abner's house trying to persuade him to go to the train to meet Miss Kelly today. Listen.
Well, Lum, why can't you go in there and meet her by yourself?
Well, she ain't coming to see me, Abner.
Well, about it, think she was, the way you got yourself dressed up there.
Well, natural, me being the president of the Matrimonial Bureau, I've got to dress myself up when we meet one of our clients this way.
Yeah, well, you just go in there, Lum, and tell her that feller Peabody that she's in love with has skipped the country, that you can't locate him.
I ain't going to tell her no such a thing. What kind of a company would she think this is, letting her go to all the expense of coming all the way down here and then the man she come to see runs out on her?
Well, I don't care what she thinks about the company. I ain't going to meet her, and I ain't going to have a thing to do with her now. I'll just hide out somewhere while she's here. That's what I'll do.
Well, you've got to be in there at the county seat for the trial. That Squire Skim case is set for 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to meet Hortense on the 3 o'clock train.
Well, Lum, Grandpap's going in there. You and him ought to be enough for him to try.
Yeah, but we need you for a witness, Abner. If Squire Skimp wins that case, they'll take our farms and everything else away from us.
Why, you've got that agreement the Squire signed saying that he'd assume all the obligations of the company.
Yeah, but a body can't never tell what 12 Germans is going to do.
Well, I couldn't tell them what to do if I was to go in there. They wouldn't listen to me.
Come on, come on. Get up from there. I've argued with you just as long as I'm going to. Grandpap will be by here directly.
Well, all right. I'll go into the trial, but just as quick as it's over, I'm going to come right straight back out here. You ain't going to get me down to that train to meet Hortense.
Well, we'll argue about that later. Get a move on yourself. Get dressed.
Well, I'm dressed. I'm ready to go any time.
You ain't going in there like that, undoubtedly. Where's your necktie?
Why, it's hanging on a dresser there.
Well, put it on.
They ain't going to take no pictures of us, are they?
No, but you don't want Hortense to see you without no necktie on.
I told you that I weren't going to see Hortense.
You're going to meet that train if I have to tie you and carry you down there.
Well, now, Lum, if Elizabeth finds out that I went to the train to meet some other woman, why, it just ain't no telling what she would do.
Abner, I told you Elizabeth will never find out about it. I've done made arrangements for Hortense to stay over at Sister Simpson's while she's here.
Yeah, and she'll just about tell Sister Simpson that she'd come out here to see me, and then Sister Simpson will break her neck to write Elizabeth that I've been advertising for a while.
No, I told Sister Simpson about the whole thing.
Told her about it?
Yeah, I told her that we sent out some of your pictures by mistake, and this woman had saw one of them and fell in love with it at first sight.
Oh, me.
She promised me, though, she wouldn't breathe a word of it to nobody.
Oh, my goodness. Now you've did it, Lum. Now you've did it. More than likely, she done wrote a letter to Elizabeth by this time.
No, no.
Or she couldn't keep a secret till you could get out of her sight.
No, I don't think she'll tell it, Abner.
Well, I bet she was on the telephone telling it over the party line before you shut the front gate.
Well, if you get in any trouble over it, I'll straighten things out for you. I'll promise you that.
Yeah.
I'll write Elizabeth a letter and explain the whole thing to her. Ain't you got a better-looking coat than that you can put on?
No. Except my Sunday coat.
Well, put it on. This is an important occasion, Abner.
Well, now, Lum, I ain't said that I'd meet that train yet.
No, you ain't, but I have.
Well, what am I going to tell her after I meet her, Lum? I can't marry the woman.
Well, Abner, I'm just trying to help you, and you don't have sense enough to see it. Oswan, I get so disgusted with you, I don't know what to do.
And you ain't trying to help me, neither.
Well, you see, if you do what I tell you, if she comes in on that train and you ain't there to meet her, she'll more than likely come out here looking for you and then asking everybody around town. Everybody in town will know about it.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that won't do, Lum.
I know. It's what I say. I'm trying to tell you. The thing to do is to meet her at the train, and I'll introduce you to her, and I believe when she sees you, she'll change her mind about wanting to marry you.
Yeah, but what if she don't change her mind, though?
Well, you can get out of it some way. Tell her you got her letter too late, that you've already married somebody else. Tell her anything. Then I'll take her down to our office when we get out here and show her all the pictures of other men that's come in since we wrote her and try to find somebody else that she'll want to marry.
Well, I wish to goodness knew he'd never thought of the matrimonial business. That's what I wish.
Well, I don't know if I'd go so far as to
say
that.
I do. I wish I'd never heard the name.
Well, the only mistake we've made is when we sent out them pictures of you. I don't much believe we ought to did that.
Yeah, I know Dad blame well that we oughtn't to.
Well, just leave everything to me. I'll have this all straightened out to where it'll all come out all right.
I hope so.
Trouble with you, you always worry about something. Ain't no reason to.
Wait a minute, Mom. Wait a minute. That's my ring there.
Yeah. More likely Grandpap telling us he'll be here directly.
Hello? Peabody's place. Who? Oh. Oh, well. Yes. Yeah, sure. Why, natural, natural. Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom.
Yes, Mom.
Well, yes, Mom.
Granny, can't you say no once in a while?
Why, sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wished I could get him to agree with me like that.
Well, that's all right. Not at all, not at all. Yes, Mom. Oh, yeah.
Well, I know it'd be
yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes, Mom. All right. All right. Goodbye. Well.
Who was that?
I don't know. She never did say.
Well, what was she wanting?
I don't know. I never asked her.
You mean you talked all that time, never found out who it was or what she wanted?
Well, I never talked all that time. She done the talking.
Well, what was she talking about all that time then?
Why, nothing. She just said it was the wrong number that she was calling Seastrunk's place.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yonder comes Grandpap now, Lom. I expect I better comb my hair and get ready.
Yeah. There's Dick Huddleston with him. He ain't going, is he?
Why, no, not that I know of.
Well, hurry up. I'll go on out there and keep them while you...
Yeah, well, I'll be out there just as quick as I can find my coat and hat and get them all on.
Well, howdy, fellers.
Hi, Lum.
Yeah, howdy, Lum.
Where's Abner?
He'll be out in just a minute. He's trying to find his hat and coat now, I think.
Well, Abner's always the last one ready anytime you go anyplace.
Have you got that document that Squire Skimp signed, Lum? Oh, yeah. Got that right here in my pocket. I sure don't want to forget that. It's the only thing that'll save us. I'm just worried to death about that trial, Lum. Worried and fretted over it all night.
Oh, well, now, I don't think the Squire's got a chance in the world of winning that suit, Grandpap. When you fellas produce that agreement he signed, why, I believe they'll throw it out of court.
Yeah, I just hope you're right, Dick. I would love to get the best of Squire Skimp for once.
Yeah. Well, if you win this case, Lum, well, you've got even with him for all the stunts he ever pulled on you, all right.
Oh, yeah. Well, here comes Pokey now. Hurry up, Abner. We'll freeze to death out here.
I'm coming. For my head.
Oh, for goodness.
Hi, Dick. Hi, Grandpa.
Yeah, howdy, Abner.
Hello, Abner. Well, better get out and let you fellas go, right? Here, Abner, here, you can get right up here at Grandpa.
Well, ain't you going with us, Dick?
No, I can't, Lum. I'd like to, but I can't leave a store today. And you fellas won't need me in there anyway.
Well, get in the back there, Richard, and I'll drive you back down to the store.
Oh, no. Thanks a lot, Grandpa, but you fellas sort of push for time if that trial comes up 10 o'clock. I can walk back down the store. It won't take
well,
a few minutes.
Maybe we better then, for...
Sure, go ahead.
If we want to get the trial started on time, we've got to meet that train at 3 o'clock to meet Hortense.
Yeah, Lum finally talked me into meeting Hortense. Yeah, I reckon I'll go in there and see what you look like.
Well,
anyway.
You fellas ready? So
yeah.
Long, Dick.
Well, so long. Now, be careful now. Don't wrap it around anything, Grandpa.
Yeah,
take her easy now, Grandpa. Don't be trying to show off.
I'm driving this car now, Abner.
If you start taking them curves like you did the last time, I'm going to get out and walk, too. Well, so long, Dick. So long.
See you tonight, Dick.
All right. I hope you win that lawsuit.
Hey, Mr. Abner. Mr. Abner. Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter, Cedric?
Hey, stop Mr. Abner there.
Why, it's too late now, Cedric. He couldn't hear you. What's the matter? Do you want to go with him?
No, ma'am. I got a telegram here for Mr. Abner.
A telegram?
Yes, Mom.
Well, here. Let me see it, Cedric. It might be something important there. Let me read it.
That feller told me to be sure and see that he got it first.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I'll look it over here and see what it... Well.
What's the matter? Some bad news of some kind?
We'll arrive on the 3 o'clock train. Meet us. Elizabeth and Pearl.
Well, poor Abner. If Lum can get him out of this scrape, he's good. Ladies and gentlemen, in the following occurrence, the time is evening. The scene, aboard a streetcar. And here are Les Chalmers and Frank White.
Well, move over, Les. If you only pay one fare, you're entitled to only one strap.
Hello, Frank. Where did you come from?
300 other people and I just got on at Temple Street.
Boy, they do pack them in here, don't they?
Yeah. Looks like the Rose Bowl on wheels.
Say, what does a man have to do to reach you at your office?
Well, depends on who it is that's trying to get me. Why?
Must have called you 10 times this morning.
Did? Well, I was tied up with Big Boss until about 2:30 this afternoon. Why, what was on your mind?
Thought I'd take you to lunch. Had an old friend I wanted you to meet, Larry Jennings. You remember, I told you all about him.
Oh, sure, I do. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't go with you, Les, but I didn't get out to eat until late.
You mean you didn't eat until 2:30?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, how do you do it? I couldn't, Big Boss or no Big Boss. When noon rolls around, I'm hungry and I've got to eat or I can't work anymore.
Yeah, you don't know the secret of Horlick's malted milk tablets, I see.
Horlick's malted milk tablets?
The greatest thing in the world to help you ward off hunger or fatigue. Well, I always keep a flask of them in my desk. Whenever I begin to feel hungry or tired, all I have to do is get out those tablets and dissolve a few in my mouth. Yeah, they've helped me through many a tough day, I can tell you.
Say, they'd be just the thing to have with you on a long automobile jaunt, wouldn't they? Horlick's malted milk tablets, eh?
Yeah.
I'll have to remember to get some.
My wife goes for Horlick's tablets, too. She always carries a few of them in her purse when she's downtown shopping.
And those energy-giving, nourishing malted milk tablets are wonderful, too, for children. Let them carry Horlick's tablets to school with them. They'll nourish while the children work or play, keep the youngsters from getting too tired or too hungry. Horlick's malted milk tablets come in both natural and chocolate flavors. You can get them in either the small 10-cent size flask or the other larger sizes at your druggist's. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlicks, who bid you all good night and good health.